We are here because we are dedicated to helping the entire CrossFit community. Determined to elevate coaches, box owners, athletes, and everything in between, we believe that this mission will begin right here, right now. While this time and this goal begins with you, our hope is that you take this fire ignited within you and weave it into your own life with the same unrelenting passion to give those you have the privilege of coming in contact with the best hour of their day. When you do what you love, like CrossFit, coaching, running a business, you want to do it for life. And Inside Tracker can help. Inside Tracker was founded in 2009 by leading scientists in aging, genetics, and biometrics. Using their patented algorithm, Inside Tracker analyzes your body's data to provide you with a clear picture of what's going on inside you and to offer you science-backed recommendations for positive diet and lifestyle changes. Then, Inside Tracker tracks your progress every day, every step of the way towards reaching your performance goals and living a longer, healthier life. If you're a coach, affiliate owner, trainer, registered dietitian, or other health and wellness practitioner, Inside Tracker has launched a new program for you to offer this to your clients called Inside Tracker Pro. In addition to helping your clients optimize their health and perform better than ever, you'll also get discounts and earn revenue. Plus, you'll get free access to the Inside Tracker Pro Educational Resource Center and a free personal coach dashboard for secure access to your clients' Inside Tracker results and recommendations. Inside Tracker Pros receive a 50% discount to experience Inside Tracker themselves. Earn revenue, enjoy discounts, and help your clients perform better than ever with Inside Tracker Pro. Visit insidetracker.com/coachjasonackerman to get started.
Welcome back to another episode of Best Hour of Their Day. All the usual, the gang is back together. Fern, if you're not watching on YouTube, you kind of look like an astronaut today. Not going to lie. I don't know what it is, but I feel like you're going to outer space.
Like highly intelligent?
That wasn't it. Katie, rocking her favorite color, olive green.
It's true. I wear green a lot, I guess. You pointed that out to me. I didn't realize
and
it.
Me in my parents' basement. The usual.
Right.
The usual. Check us out on YouTube. Subscribe.
Every time I see that shirt, I feel like it's a Cobra Kai emblem, even though it's not.
It is Cobra. I am Cobra Kai.
You're an old washed up guy still trying to do karate.
That is it. The new season actually comes out, I believe, December 31st. So I know what I will be doing on New
season
Year's
four.
Eve. Season four, New Year's Eve marathon with Roz and the baby.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't watch season three.
That's because you're hooked on Billions right now.
I am hooked on Billions hard.
Once again, drinking my alpha brain. Am I any smarter, Katie?
Nope.
I'll tell you, first of all, guys, we haven't spoken about this. You said this episode's coming out Monday. We're recording it on November 4th. It's my five-year anniversary. So the wifey and I are going out to a little lunch in a little bit. However, as an anniversary present, did you see that I was quoted on the Morning Chalkup as four-time affiliate owner?
That's not accurate.
100% accurate.
Who owns the domain for Best Hour CrossFit, by the way?
Do you own it? Did you buy it?
I may have bought it up just to say fuck you.
I have a feeling it's someone I know.
It's called cyber squatting.
Well, you're about to get a cease and desist from CrossFit home office.
Well, I am 50% owner of Best Hour of Their Day. So
no, that is true.
Good luck litigating that.
I'm not you're not co-owner at Best Hour CrossFit. But anyway, I was quoted on the Morning Chalkup and we were talking about selling your box. They reached out to me and, you know, one of the things I said that I tell just about any box owner when they message me about selling their gym or potentially buying a gym is, you know, a gym is only worth what someone is willing to pay. And I suppose you can say that about just about anything in life, right? Like, as the Million Dollar Man says, back in the 80s, everybody's got a price. But, you know, this day and age, it's really understanding, hey, it's only worth what someone's willing to pay you for it.
Which is actually correct. And I agree with that 1000%. And congrats to you. If I could virtually reach around and pat you on the back and maybe slap you on the back of the head, I would do that.
Reach around? I accept your reach around.
Done. Well, I'll see you this weekend. So don't get caught off guard if I.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow. I'll see you in Milwaukee.
If I do it in public. But the on that note, so in this fake affiliate that you have in your garage, yep. That's our other day, real, CrossFit.
Real affiliate.
That does not have a website. And no members. Yeah. And no schedule. And no Instagram handle.
$25 drop in fee.
Done. I was gonna come in and throw all your equipment on the floor. If that was like truly a functional business, what would you be doing at this point? No, it's not. What would you be doing to grow your business?
Ooh, I mean, to be honest, I'm content where it is. We got two members.
Non-paying, by the way. Yeah. Non-paying. So basically what you have is a nonprofit.
Yeah, it's a not-for-profit. what would I be doing to grow it right now? Mm-hmm. If I'm like, okay, I open up Best Hour CrossFit and I'm gonna grow it. I would have some social media. I'd be putting it out there. I'd be sharing some pictures and imagery of how the gym looks. I would be reaching out to everyone and anyone I knew in the town that could benefit from it. You know, hey, come on in. Like I would probably give them the month of November, much like I've told people to do with their past members. Like, come in for November. Like, let me show you how great this CrossFit thing is and how much fun it's going to be here.
On that note, your aggravation from the previous person who didn't want to give away a free month, I had somebody else do that. Maybe
you
like
see
a month.
That thread. But I just tell you about it.
You told me about it. But I had somebody else do it, and maybe like a 45 days ago, and I believe the number was 8. I know for sure it was 8, but it might have been 13 off of that strategy.
Yeah,
free month.
A fucking great strategy.
Right, I'm glad I came up with it. But my point, the things that you listed there were all on an active pursuit of growth of your business. Where most affiliate owners sit is this passive idea that people are just going to walk into their gym, whether it's a new affiliate owner or whether it's I've been around 10 years. And anytime I ask people, like, what's your lead flow like, and they're like, well, only like 2 this month. I'm like, what are you doing about that? And they're like, well, they're just not coming in. And this is a mindset shift, right? So this is not like, it's typically not a strategy. It's typically not, there's so many strategies out there. And I would tell you that any of them work. You just have to do one of them. And because most people, I would, whether they know it or not, are sitting it with some sense of scarcity with regard to their affiliate. And going back to where you started this with the idea of selling your affiliate, if in fact you want to sell your affiliate, or the principle of built to sell, which is whether you sell it or not, is like you should build something that is sellable. And when we say sellable for the purposes of this conversation, we are not referring to selling off the assets in your gym. That's a transfer of goods, essentially. That is not what I would consider to be a sale of a profitable business. You sold, somebody else bought a job in that scenario. What are we doing to grow the business so that somebody buys essentially what would be a cash flow asset? So if we're talking real estate and you're buying real estate property, I don't want to just buy a house and then hope that somebody walks in one day randomly and is like, oh, I think I'll rent this place. What I want to do is I want to put it on Airbnb, some sort of local rental market, find a real estate agent to fill it. All these would be active pursuits to make this thing now a cash flow asset. And I would obviously want it to pay the mortgage and insurance and taxes and all that kind of stuff. That's how I want people to treat their affiliates. And my challenge to everybody is do it absent of spending money on paid advertising.
Well, that was, you know, when you asked me that was not even what I was thinking, but it just doesn't make sense. I was recently posting about it in that same Facebook affiliate right. group. And, you know, I believe it was Coy, the admin, kind of said like, how many leads do you guys get? Blah, blah, blah. And I responded, retention is greater than leads. And that's a mistake that so many box owners make. They're like, all right, I need leads. And A, you're paying for them. Like once a member's there, the cost of keeping them is zero. It's just being good at your job, which you should be striving for. And you've seen it. I've seen it. The boxes that don't succeed for the long haul are getting cheap, low quality leads in. You can get 30 leads a month and your churn rate's going to be 35.
Right.
What does that mean? It means they're staying for a month. They're then leaving the next month along with five of your quality members. You don't need 30 leads. I mean, we had Devin on last week. He's at 85 members and he was at 3 sales on November 3rd. Like,
right.
3 sales is perfect. Three a month, you know, and you know, quick math, Fern, like, you know, it's 36 new members a year. And that's year over year. And you're always going to have some churn, people move, life, whatever, like, but you're also going to have many months. I mean, you just said that person got what, 8 new people this month. I mean, that's,
well, that was off of the strategy, but that's that kind of leads into
this. But it's still new people.
Right. Right. And those are just ways to, and so for anybody who's just like, hey, paid advertising. There's a reason that Jim Launch is kind of really not, don't get me wrong. And by the way, he's a phenomenal businessman. I just disagree with his tactics and what the long-term repercussions of those tactics are. And I respectfully disagree. And I'm referring to Alex Hormozi.
And we all disagree. And part of the reason I can disagree so adamantly is when I was in Florida, I was at a box that was using it. And I mean, I don't want to get into a ton of detail, but he made so many mistakes. Like, he was getting so many leads in that he expanded the box. He took out another bay, like in a warehouse, right, kind of very similar to like Onnit setup. Go on our YouTube channel to see what Onnit setup looks like. And he took out a second one that wasn't even next door. So it was like mistake one. You're going to run back and forth outside. Like, no. Two, now you have way more space than you actually need. Because guess what number three was? These people weren't sticking around.
Right.
So,
and that was the thing with the gym launch. That was the thing with gym launch. Is like, I know very few gyms that are still running that strategy because the cost at some point will start to outpace the return. Right. You're spending $10,000 a month on Facebook ads and you're making 12. Well, that starts to get real dicey pretty quick. Okay. And it was a strategy, like, and it was that he executed very well. And there were gyms that exceeded, most of them short term. I'm actually not aware of any gyms that are still running. And if they're out there, I would love to have them on the podcast. I don't care. I'm not against it. I just know for most people, it's not manageable for a whole host of reasons, but that's not the point.
Right. I'm sure there's one or two affiliates, obviously, actually more. I'm sure there's a dozen that, you know, I think you would have been successful with it because it's not only capturing these leads, but it's then, are you and your coaching staff capable of coaching a class of 24 people or more? And the answer is no. 99% of affiliates are not. CrossFit Rife, Best Hour CrossFit. Yeah, we would have been fine. I mean, I can take 24 people in my one car garage easily. You were in the racquetball court. It's basically the same size.
Right. Now, I actually disagree. I don't think we would have been, just because of the offer, but I don't want to go down the rabbit hole. Sure, the point is active versus passive. And yes, we believe that retention is, you know, as we say in there, is like the independent variable most commonly associated with maximizing the rate of growth in the affiliate is retention, similar to intensity and its input to fitness. But that's not to say that retention is the only piece, right? And you have to be careful when you have this conversation, is because, like, now we kind of have to switch modes here and talk about technique versus intensity. I want to be equally balanced with both. And when I say retention, that's not to suggest that sales are not a thing. Sales are absolutely a thing. It's the base of the pyramid that we made for growing a business, for a world-class affiliate to have impact. I want to put equal amount on both, just like you would with technique and intensity. It's like, you can go really slow and have perfect movement and there'll be minimal return to your fitness. I could go really fast and move like crap. There will be return on there, but there's a ceiling to that. At some point I need to have both. And the same thing with an affiliate is I want to maximize retention and I want to also maximize sales. And most people are not doing some basic things, or they're putting actually no input on sales. And when I've asked him, be like, what are you actively doing right now to engage people in a non-paid fashion? What are you doing? And the answer is nothing. I'm hoping that somehow the Google machine works and funnels them to my website, and they might fill out this really awful form on my website.
We worked harder to get people to show up at a party in college by flyering campus than most box owners are willing to do to get new members in.
So all of my folks that I work with, I will, at some point when we feel like they're ready, I will switch gears and I will put them into sales mode. And again, sales is this really kind of, you know, uncomfortable conversation for people, whatever, like if that's a whole separate topic, we won't talk about that. But the point is that we switch and I'll give them a goal. I say, listen, I want you to write down as many ideas as you can that would get you X number of members. I don't think I've had anybody miss the target, but now what we've proven to people is like, you can manifest sales by actively engaging people and following up with people that quit in the last 90 days, by sending out emails, by following up with old leads that never booked a consult, right? There's so many things that people have at their disposal that they're not doing that would be massively beneficial, that will cost you very little in time and energy. What's the ROI on an email they spend 15 minutes building that brings in three people? It's pretty high. That's pretty high. And I don't mean like a campaign. I'm like, send a personal email to somebody. Be like, hey, Jay, you know, like, I know you quit a couple months ago because you couldn't beat me in a workout and that you felt in fear because you were short, but I'd like to give you another opportunity to see if maybe your genetics changed in the past 3 months. Like, would you love to come back for a free week? Like, I don't know. Probably not, but listen, I'll give you a shot. Right. But if the point is like, right, that's my point. And whether you were just like, ha ha, he's funny, I need to go back in there, or I hate that guy, I'm gonna go back in there. The point was active engagement on my end to have a real conversation to come in, you know, offer somebody a referral. But the point is people are doing nothing. And when you do nothing, guess what? The outcome will be nothing. And then I get in the scarcity mindset because I'm so focused on, you know, the people that are canceling, right? I was just talking to somebody else today and I said, hey bro, like you're good at this, dude. However, but like what I'm hearing is a lot of scarcity things. And the other thing I'll challenge people to do is like, and this is where the balance has to come in, is like sell past the number that you're scared of. Sell past it. It's not to ignore retention. That's not what we're saying. But at some point I have to develop the skill of being confident enough that I can sell past any churn that I might be experiencing at that point. And what are we doing to do that? And this is where I want people to make a little bit of a shift and stop sitting back and passively hoping that randomly somebody will Google in your area, CrossFit's near me. I don't have control over that. I do have control over my entire mailing list. I do have control over like sending 10 people a text a day and just check on them, see how they're doing. That's what we should be doing. Those are layups. If you send 10 of them, you'll probably get one.
It just goes to show that, you know, I think it has to do a lot with, well, first of all, I want to talk about the fact that people misconstrue what we say is like sales is not important. When you give your lecture at the summit, it's the foundation. It's literally
food.
The foundation of the hierarchy of a world-class affiliate.
Right. It's like, it's food, the energy currency of the body. And I'm like, cool, sales, the energy currency of a business, but actual legitimate real currency. And that's what fuels a business so that you can do other things. You have to have both.
When we had our Instagram live the other day, you know, somebody asked what's more important, revenue or coaching. And it's a tough answer. You need both. That's basically the technique and intensity right there, right? Revenue or coaching. And you need both, but my argument, it goes back to Coach Glassman's theory on, you know, pursue excellence and the money will follow. It's the same thing. Like all the revenue in the world will slowly go down the drain without good coaching. Good coaching is kind of your drain, your stopper in the sink. And you need good coaching. And if you have good coaching from day one, the revenue will be there because people pick up on that. And that's what separates every box these days, proper coaching.
Yeah. And so they cannot exist without each other. Right. If I can't sell, then I got nobody to coach. And if I can sell and my service sucks, then nobody's going to stay. So it's not like one or the other. It's a balancing act. And I have to figure out like, where does the focus need to be? If you got a, you know, a group of just monster coaches who are amazing, then maybe I can focus on the sales a little bit more. But at some point I may have to shift back and like, hey, we need to do a little bit of coach development. We were just talking the other day about, hey, we need to eval a little bit more of the onboarding process, like sit-ins, like evaluations, and put the emphasis there that we put on classes for the coaching. They're equally as important. So they don't exist. And I used to be like this. I'm like, oh, nothing's happening. But the reality is like, I wasn't doing shit. I'm just like, oh, nobody's coming in on the website. I'm like, oh, okay. It's just like saying nobody randomly walked by my house today and gave me $5. I'm like, of course they didn't, but they might, if you just stood outside of your driveway and be like, can I have $5? I don't know. They might give you $5, but like, it's better odds that they'll do it. If you try that, I'm not saying it's a great idea, but if you're not doing anything, almost anything is a better idea than that.
And well, one of the things that Devin said really worked for him was when we told him to come up with 20 ideas to gain new members.
Right. I was like, and 10 of them will be terrible. 5 of them will be okay.
Yeah. And we talked about that yesterday on the podcast. It's just this idea of thinking outside the box as well. You know, it's, you know, if you come up with 20 ideas, you're kind of forcing your brain to think outside of the box. And like you said, I would argue 15 to 18 of them will be terrible, but in there you'll have 2 or 3. And that's a drill we do with so many people. You know, it's like, come up with the method that we're going to get 5 new members this month, 20, and just do not stop till you get 20. I mean, we're not creating this. This is like people smarter than us are coming up with this. But it works. It works if you do it.
Yeah. And that's just the psychology of, if I set a goal, I tend to move in the direction of the goal. And it's not necessarily how you move towards the goal or how quickly you move with the goal. Because if I'm currently static and I'm doing nothing, there's going to be, have to be some psychological or mental shift towards movement. And in the sales world, it's like, I'm not doing anything. So then every person that leaves is problematic because nothing is coming in. So in that scenario, depending on what your buffer is, like, you could have a real problem. But where any affiliate would prefer to be is, if 20 people walked out the door right now, we definitely would not want that to happen. However, if they did, am I going to be up all night, like losing sleep because I'm like, this is a, like, we're on the verge of collapse? Or am I going to be like, that sucks. What's the problem? Let's fix it and get out of this dip and move back in the same direction that we were. You know, this is why people in the fourth quarter stress out. Gym owners stress out during the fourth quarter because they're like teetering on kind of like, oh, I don't know, like, well, this is going to get a little weird with revenue. Instead of saying, hey, I know it's coming, right? What can I do to buffer it leading into that? But even you could do all the things right in the world in the fourth quarter, like holiday is typically where you're going to see a higher than average churn in the gym space. What am I doing to buffer that? What am I actively engaging with, you know, whether it's people or ideas or anything like that? What am I doing to actively pursue? People will join the gym in December. That's something that drives me insane. So when people go, well, nobody's going to join the gym in December, I'm like, I beg to differ.
Of course they are.
I beg to differ.
Their perception.
Right. Or it's just a reason to not do anything because I might be afraid. It might be afraid to follow up with people, or I don't follow up with people that quit because I internally don't want to acknowledge that I didn't give them a great experience. And I feel like a turd asking them to come back. I'm like, just get over it, man, and improve it when they come back. You know? Yeah. But every time I've done this with somebody, they may not have hit the target. But it's like, listen, if you shoot for the stars and you land on the moon, that's pretty significant progress. And then we can reassess it. And if you make that distance every single time, eventually you're going to get there. But the point is that there is movement, there is momentum, there is growth involved with that. And that's where a lot of gym owners are really, really bad. Because like, if you're listening to this, I just want you to ask, you're like, what are you actively doing that is not organic search based to grow your business? So it can't be organic search, right? I mean, an organic search means somebody hops on the old interwebs into the Google machine and puts in CrossFit near me. So that doesn't count. And paid ads don't count. So if we take those two out, what are you doing? And the answer for most people, the vast majority, is nothing.
Nothing.
And that is a problem because when Google breaks or explodes or the algorithm goes crazy or Facebook algorithms don't work anymore and ads don't return the way you want to, what are you left with? You have zero tools.
Will happen.
Will happen. Like it was some, the stuff will go down eventually. And if you have nothing in your bag of tools that would resemble, we'll call it guerrilla marketing, meaning like good old fashioned legwork, what are you going to do? Because if you're, if the base of what you do is based on old fashioned guerrilla marketing, then all the other stuff is just icing on the cake, right? That just allows me to move at a faster rate. But when all those go away, what are you doing?
Yeah. And for reference, I never did any paid advertising through social media with any of my boxes. You know, I used social media, don't get me wrong, but no paid advertising. It was always just, you know, word of mouth and you know, social media is integral to your gym, but it's
all seriousness though. I'm not being sarcastic. It's been a while since you've owned an affiliate.
Well, I currently own one, but yeah.
Right. That's all I mean. And you have none of those things, but like when you owned Soulshine, like how big was Instagram or Facebook ads?
It was just, I don't really think people were using it at the time. So I sold Soulshine early 2014.
Oh yeah. So Facebook was only like a handful of years old, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, it
Katie,
was,
when did, I mean, look I up when, was, when did Facebook come online? Facebook ads at least.
Yeah, no, Facebook came out probably like early 2000s, right? Like if you watch the movie, but it wasn't till probably around 2014, 15 that paid ads were being used, especially in the gym space. What do you got, Katie?
Facebook ads were launched November 2007.
Ooh. Yeah, but that's not like...
Not like the ads that we have today, but they were officially launched that, then.
I'm sure that was kind of like car companies are just putting out ads, et cetera, not like the local stuff where you can do it now. But never once. I mean, and for the record, we did some paid advertising. We did radio spots. We were on commercials on TV, you know, all that, but not not paid social media ads like people would think of today.
Yeah. And this is just because this conversation happens a lot. And the conversation tends to ramp up in the down parts of the season where people are freaking out. And my contention is we're freaking out because we're not proactively planning around these things for growth. So I was given a basketball reference just because Jay played basketball at one point in his life, right? Because he likes talking about basketball a lot. Yeah. Yeah. I remember you remember you made that deep too at On It. The point I was making was, let's just say you had a basketball team, right? And let's say my defense was locked down, like nobody could score, but I never really thought about trying to score. It's not going to pan out for you. I never thought about like running plays and shooting defense and all that kind of stuff. That it's not going to work out, right? It's like, you know, offense wins games, defense wins championships. I'm like, within reason. But if you don't score, then you don't win. So I kind of have a little bit of contention with that, but I get what they're saying. And conversely, if all I do is do sales, right? Or all I do is shoot the ball, but I never pass half court going back the other direction. I'm just like, we're just going to wait until we can inbound again after this score and just run up the score. That becomes very problematic because now it's a race to keep up. And when things change, I'm not prepared to play any defense. I want to have locked defense and be able to light it up on the offensive end of the floor. Like that's actually what championship teams do. They do both really, really, really well. And in business, it would be retention and sales, offense, defense. That's what we want to look at. That is like, if your deficiency is in one of those, then shore that one up. It's not to ignore the other one. Cause if you suck at one, you suck at 50% of the equation.
Yeah. I really think it is. It's, you know, synonymous with the technique intensity lecture, right? It's not yes or no, it's both. And, you know, and to that extent, you know, you can be putting in all of the effort, like you're suggesting, to get good leads in, not paid leads, but like, I put a sign up outside. We're running at the local 5K, you know, the turkey trot's coming. What am I doing for that? But then these people find out about you and come in and you're not great at sales. That's a problem as well. You need right. both. And not to mention, you know, we promote increasing your average client value. You need to be able to sell what you have at the box too, you know, in addition to just the membership. It needs to be, I'm selling, you know, protein, I'm selling a new shirt, I'm selling my next 8-week programming. So you really need to be doing it all. And I think that ultimately is why Best Hour CrossFit, and by the way, whoever's squatting on that, you're about to get a letter from my attorney.
Keep it. Keep it. I hope it goes to some random mailing address in the Bahamas. It's Roz.
Roz. I bet you it's INV1245.
Yeah, INV1245.
That dude.
He's like, listen, you take back. He's like, allow my 4-star rating to hold and I'll give you back the domain.
It was a 3-star rating.
3-star. Okay, allow the 3-star.
Has he changed it? Let me check. I'm going to check right now on my
phone. INV1245. Keep it. Just stay strong, brother.
Hold on.
Keep your conviction. But yeah, this conversation is happening a lot. You can see it in affiliate forums. You can see it with the people that we work with. And it is, it's that time of year, if you will. But I want everybody to get to the point where like that time of year doesn't matter. Like it's irrelevant to me. It's like, yeah, it'll drop a little bit, but there's no business where like the trajectory is just upwards forever. Anyway, we can have like these small undulations in there that are happening and that's fine. Right. I just want to know that like I'm putting equal focus on retention and sales. And at the end of the day, that is actually what's going to create, a thriving affiliate. It typically just starts with retention because those people are already there. So that's the easiest one to start with. And then I can turn and focus and create a skill set of sales, whether that's, email campaigns or, doing joint ventures with other businesses. I mean, there's so many ideas. There's infinite number of ideas, following up with other people, but none of those are going to cost you anything to put time. So you got to have both. That's the point. Right. And then, I want people to enjoy the holidays, man. There's nothing that's going on in there that you need to focus on both. Right. And everybody gets in the set of like retention, right? Because we push retention and it's important, but you have to have both conversations.
All right. Well, before we wrap up, first of all, INV1245 has not yet changed his review. So
I wonder if Nosehold just changed his username.
Oh, damn it. That Nosehold. I forgot about that guy. Let me read a positive review. And for those listening, go review the show. D Green 2012. Keeping it real no matter what is the subject line. I love how you guys always share your real thoughts, feelings, and opinions. I often agree with you both, and I still respect you both, even when I do not agree. Your knowledge and perspective have been instrumental in my growth and development as a coach. You guys come across as brazenly unafraid of the cancelier squads, and I appreciate the freshness of that so much. As a side note, weak people who cannot handle the truth should not listen to this podcast. This is not a show for people who will fall apart when their thoughts or opinions are challenged. I mean, that's a review. D Green, that's a review. I respect this person. I can't tell if that's a male or female. What do you think? Or they?
I don't know that it matters. The trend here is that you respect people that like you and don't respect people that dislike you.
That's accurate.
Which kinds of lends itself to the maybe you don't understand what respect means.
So the last person actually gave us a review on Tuesday, and Cabanas, that's actually a person. She's my friend. She texted me. I meant to send it to you guys. She drives to and from in Atlanta. She said Atlanta traffic's bad. And so, you guys make the commute to work that much better. But she said, she screenshotted talked about the ball powder of the last episode. And she said she was literally dying driving to work, listening to that episode. So that was good.
I like that person too. I like that person, I believe INV1245 will do the right thing. Just taking time. He's probably thinking about it, like really debating, like, I did make a mistake, but it's a hard, this is us giving you feedback. INV1245, like you did a bad job, but you have the opportunity to improve upon it. So, all right. With that being said,
I reject your feedback and we'll raise you my own feedback.
I'm giving you feedback on your feedback. That's what I like to call it. But anyway, please leave us a review. Please head over to our YouTube channel and subscribe, because by the time you're listening to this, we are days away from dropping in season 2 coming out and some other great stuff. So big stuff coming. I'm excited for it. Katie Fern.
Challenge to everybody listening, go find 5 members within the next 30 days and then hit us up and let us know how it went.
so you never miss an episode of the podcast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and on all major podcasting platforms at Best Hour of Their Day. Thank you so much for tuning in and for being a part of the best hour of our day. See you next time.